Blog Talk Radio.
It's December 20th, 2010, and you're listening to Phoning It In right here on the GWH Radio Network, of course, brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. And since it's the holiday time of year, this is going to be the final Phoning It In for 2010, and if I'm not mistaken, this is the final show on the GWH Radio Network for 2010. But we'll be back in January. And Larry Goodman has once again pulled out the stops. We have a good show for you tonight to close off the year. We're going to be joined by NWA Anarchy wrestler Jacoby Boykins, who has quite a story to tell. He ran into some issues while trying to do professional wrestling as a U.S. Army soldier at the same time. So he's going to tell us what his issues were with that. And also tonight, going to be joined by a professional wrestler out of Knoxville, Tennessee, the King of the Hill of Knoxville, Shane Williams, and that should be a fun interview. And let's throw it to the man behind the switchboard, already mentioned, the Diana Dawn of Norcross, Georgia, Scary Larry Goodman. What's up, Larry?
Yeah, to quote the Christopher Malasante on The Sopranos, ho fucking ho, everybody.
Uh-oh, I hear the man on the line.
Yeah, our third part of this triad, Mr. Uno himself, Murder One.
I like hoes, too.
How you doing tonight?
I like hoes a lot. I'm doing all right. How you doing?
Pretty well. Pretty well. Getting in the feel of the season here, the final GWH radio show, the final phoning in for 2010 tonight.
You know what, Larry? You know what?
You
know what I found out today?
What's that?
It just really dawned on me that so much secrets and top secret shit about shit that goes on around here in the wrestling world comes through my phone every day.
Uh-oh.
You know I could be the wrestling WikiLeaks if I really wanted to.
Well, leak away. You got something you want to leak for us
today? I got to wait real quick, you know what I'm saying? I got to verify a couple documents that came in through the old iPhone today, you know what I'm saying? But once I get some verification on it, you best believe I'm going to leak it on this motherfucker right here.
All right.
You best believe. And they ain't going to lock me up for fucking no girl without no rubber either. Because this is America. We do that.
Well, just make sure she's of age, okay?
Hey, always. I'm not insert wrestler's name here, and I know you're listening. And you know what? You know I just took a dig at you too, Strawberry Shortcake.
Ooh, Strawberry Shortcake.
Strawberry Shortcake.
Oh yeah.
We'll
have to get old Strawberry on the show one day.
Have we got a Scooby Doo mystery going on, Larry?
Sounds like it.
Oh boy, here we go. Hey, but So how's everybody's week been?
Yeah, been busy but good. Once again, it's snowing in Louisville. Feels like the sixth time snowing again here. So, jeez.
Damn.
Hey, Larry, just real quick, are we going to be bit by the Blog Talk Radio gods in February like everybody else is? Do you know about that?
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think Uno's heard about this yet, but they're saying they're gonna cut all the shows to 30 minutes, unless you pay up.
Well, we need to find somewhere else to host our shit then.
So we'll have to deal with that. But yeah, I don't see why we would. I haven't talked to Rich about it, but I don't see why we'd be any different than any other shows.
Right,
in that regard,
you probably got that same letter. You know, the thing about it is, now, the way I understand it, 30 minutes, and you, and if you do the free thing, you also can't have a primetime show. And if
right.
you want to pay, it's like either $29 or $39 a month.
$29.99 a month. Yeah.
Yeah. And but the thing about it is, this is what I'm wondering, like if you do like an off hours 30-minute show the way Blog Talk is, I wonder if it's just going to cut off after 30 minutes or keep recording for 2 hours like this stuff's known to do. You know what I mean?
Good
Not only anybody knows.
Yeah. Good question.
Anyway, no. there's something coming with that. And, Larry, I want to ask you, since we're talking about breaking scoops and breaking stories here, why don't you give us a little scoop on NWA Anarchy as it stands right now?
Well, some of the, you know, some of it was out in the report that's posted on the message board today. But what came out on Saturday is Jerry Palmer in the ring at the start of the NWA Anarchy show announced that he was retiring from wrestling effective approximately Hardcore Hell 2011, which at this point I believe is going to be the second week of April, that he would no longer function in an ownership role at NWA Anarchy. And the promotion is up for sale. And
are there
no buyer suitable. Go ahead.
Yeah, that was my question. Is there anybody that's trying to buy it? Because, you know, I feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like I was talking to Jimmy today, and that's like our school, you know what I'm saying? That's like our high school right there. And I just don't want any old bum-ass motherfucker trying to just go buy it and then turn it into something, you know. I ain't going to drop no names right now, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I don't want some bum-ass motherfucker turning my high school, my alma mater, if you will, into some old bullshit. So I got a friend who, you know, you may know as the co-creator of Pro Wrestling Evolution that, you know what I'm saying? He came up on a little bit of change, and he's showing a little interest in it. You know what I'm saying? Just to keep the history right. You know what I'm saying?
Well, what I was told by Mr. Palmer is that several people, no names mentioned, have already expressed interest, and he assured me that he's not going to sell it to just anybody, and if he doesn't feel comfortable with the party to sell to, then he would rather just walk away than sell it to somebody he feels like is not a suitable new owner and a new steward of wrestling in Cornelia.
Okay, well, that's good to know there.
Yeah, yeah. So we'll see. The other thing on that's related is that starting January 8th, Bill Behrens will be back in Cornelia, will be back with Anarchy. If this is the last final bump here, he will be back from January 8th until that run ends at Hardcore Hell, and he's already promised some surprises and some returns and some folks. As you might imagine, when he gets back involved, there's going to be some new names, some new old names showing up. So that this last run is going to be fun, one way or the other. And Palmer promised that.
I was just going to say that this could pave the way for Bill Behrens to come back. I was just thinking that, Larry.
Wouldn't you be happy if, say, like, you know, Wildside came back or something?
It could be the return of Chance Williams. Chance Williams could come back.
He's still alive?
Yes, he's alive. He's working at McDonald's down there in Royston.
Steve Martin,
not.
If you're out there listening, call us, please. Steve, there's a lot of questions about what happened to you, Steve.
Yeah, buy the building back. And bring me a big fucking Mac, dog, if you're really working at the McDonald's.
Well, who actually owns that building?
I don't know who the owner is, but it is a lease situation. Palmer does not own it.
Okay.
So it is lease. So what the buyer is buying the right to lease the building and the contents of the building.
Yeah.
You know, that's what's up for sale here. We have a caller.
Damn, already?
Yes.
Already?
Area code 71706. You're on the line with Phoning It In.
Yes. I told my mama kissing Santa Claus, but it's
you
okay
did?
Because Santa Claus caught his mama kissing Jay Stecker. Hey, what's up, Banks? Yeah. Banks is calling with a little, you know, y'all know the Chuck Norris little game. You know how tough Chuck Norris is and all that shit. I found somebody tougher, and it's Jay Stacker. Blacker than a spade, Jay Stacker. So what's good with you, Banks?
He's gone.
He hung up. He just phoned in like that.
He's gone.
Jay Stacker. That's awesome.
He just dropped a run in
there.
On you. That's it.
He just did a Jay Stacker run in.
That's a run in.
Yep. You ever seen Jay Stacker, Larry?
Yeah, I had the pleasure of seeing him live and on TV.
You said the pleasure. Yeah, you know what it is. Jay Stacker
yeah.
is the up and comer right there, man.
Yeah.
He does magic. He does everything. Jay Stacker's like a licensed scuba diver and all kinds of shit. Jay Stacker's
like
a jack of all trades.
Uh-oh, we got another caller on the line here. Eric Code 706, you're on the line with phoning it in.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
We can. Who's this?
Jay Stacker is the only person ever that can cut a promo from his bathroom and make it sound like rock level type stuff. I'm telling you, he's the next thing. He's the next thing on the scene. Stacker Belly. And you know who's saying it? Do you know who's saying it? Sugar Dunkerton. That's who's endorsing him. Stacker Belly. Stacks on deck.
We didn't think of that. This show to turn into the endorsed Jay Stacker hour.
And we in the world travel experience, starting to become experience, you know, man that I am. You know, when Murder One sent me that number on my texting to tell me I need to call in and I need to enjoy Jay Stacker, hey, ain't no thing. That's the future of the business right there. And as a dark-skinned, getting mine wrestler right now, I'm proud to see other dark-skinned wrestlers getting theirs right now. That's what I'm saying. He's going to get his shine.
You light-skinned next to him.
I do admit I kind of got like a powder complexion compared to BK Stacker. You know what I'm saying? He's that dude, man. He's that dude right now. Man, y'all were wilding on this show. I didn't know y'all was acting like this on this show, man. I was sitting in the queue for about 10 minutes, man. I was enjoying it.
For those who don't know, he's been joined by the World Traveler, fresh back from Irish Whip, fresh off the Jeff Peterson tournament. We've got Mr. Sugar Dunkerton on the line here.
A.K.A. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, A.K.A. every other bad gimmick that I ever did before then, A.K.A., A.K.A. probably, you know, ain't going to get no most improved award despite everything, but that's okay. I find it very interesting, by the way, y'all talking about the anarchy situation as far as everything goes, you know? That's a pretty huge deal. I mean, there's been some sort of wrestling in the Cornelia area for, like, since middle school for me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I remember, you know, watching Caprice Coleman and, you know, the Carolina Connection and all that crazy, Laz and all that crazy stuff when, you know, I was, like, in, like, 10th grade.
That's 1978, 1989, for sure, there was wrestling. 78? 98, 99.
My age has been under dispute for some time. That's why I don't have a Wikipedia page. You know, I had to lie about the application for the Young Lions Cup. I was trying to get my, you know what I'm saying, but it is what it is, you know what I'm saying? I'm an old Mac, you know, they call me Young Mufasa, you know what I'm saying, because I'm like an old young cat. You know what I'm saying? I kind of know my thing.
Speaking of felines and stuff, I just had an idea. We should book a bunch of old lady wrestlers and call it an old Cougars tournament.
Oh, snap! Call it the Cougar Town. You heard the Chi-Town Rumble. We had the Cougar Town Rumble.
Yes, sir.
Oh,
and I'll be in the mix, too, boy.
Man, y'all will be the commissioner, right?
Yes, sir. Hey, plug that thing to YouTube page.
I'm sure that Bambi and Peggy Lee Leather are available.
I know that's right.
By the way, this episode is brought to you by www.youtube.com/JStacker. Well, for all your stacker needs, okay, we got promo videos, movie parts, matches, all the stacker that you could get. And remember, every Sunday is Stacker Sunday.
Don't forget it. On Twitter.
He's the new underground sensation right now. He don't have no Twitter. He has no Twitter. It hurts my heart. It hurts my heart, man.
Everybody needs to join the Stack Pack. Sign a petition. Get Jay Stack on Twitter.
Yeah. Well, wait a minute, guys. I've got one question, though. I want to know how Sugar Dunkerton can win a Loser Leave Town match and then leave Rampage and crew Jones. True Jones loses the match, and he's still in Rampage sticking up the joint. How does this
work? All right, check it. All right, check it. So you a black man traveling with a fully inflated basketball in your suitcase. That's a customs issue. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is not wondering what I got up in there. You know what I'm saying? They're thinking I'm a Nigerian nationalist. You know, like, you know, I'm trying to tell them, you know, I don't have that kind of accent, et cetera, et cetera. I don't have no dashiki in my suitcase,
black,
you know, all this.
Just black like them, that's all. That was racial profiling.
You wouldn't know how many people were mistaking me for Nigerian over there, man. It was wild, you know, and I'm sitting there trying to talk. You know, and I'm telling them, this Nigerians don't sound like this. And they clutching their purses and watching their wallets and stuff like that when they need to be watching their females. I'm saying, you know, ain't nothing worse than being in a foreign country with all these beautiful women with accents and no responsibility whatsoever. Just none. Total no responsibility. They need to be clutching their females.
I would have had half an island knocked the fuck up, boy.
It
would have been Guinness baths for all.
But as the news and notes would put it, that was so accurately put, I guess. I've been keeping in touch with the office ever since, and it was just an issue of when I was getting back and the timing of everything. But in the new year, you know, you're definitely gonna see old Dunks. I'm not going anywhere. I'm gonna be calling a little mayhem. I intend to become a further part of the Warner Robins fabric. As far as everything goes, I mean, I'm having a blast there, man. I love it.
Well, did you have trouble at airport security with your afro? I'm just curious.
Now, check it. Now, I had the basketball in my bag, right? But that wasn't even, like, the biggest concern of anything I had. See, I wasn't thinking about it at first, but I was trying to, you know, I didn't want to waste a perfectly good bottle of protein powder. So it's white vanilla-flavored protein powder. And I stashed it in a Nestle Quick bag, like in a plastic baggie, and then put it in a Nestle Quick jar, right? So, you know, as soon as the customs started looking through my stuff, they see the Nestle Quick thing. So, of course, they're like, man, he got to have his sugar intake so bad he carrying it in his suitcase. And then they pop it open, ain't nothing chocolatey in there. It's nothing but white. It's that white. And, you know, and
it's that fine china.
Babaloo. You know, and I'm like, oh, man. And, you know, of course you're going to say protein powder. And, you know, my height, my weight, my description, you know, drug dealer.
You look like a J.
Like, you know, and then anthrax, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, I'm like, try it for yourself in a series, you know, and I guess that must have caused a problem. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, so you're smart. You be a smart ass now. But it got itself worked out. But it was just one of them crazy situations. Just word of advice. Protein powder is not that important. Just go get you some protein shots or pick some stuff up when you over there. It's the same stuff, different label, different metric system. That's all it is.
Let me ask you this before you bounce. Did they test it? Did they rub it on their gums and stuff?
I'm like, look, you gotta take this hard, man. Like get you some water. And just straight shake it up, you know what I'm saying? Take it to the head,
boy,
you know what I'm saying?
Hey, boy, you cooking crack. You better stop telling me to listen to
Put it on the stove for about 385. It's like baking a cake. Put it on the stove, 385, a little nutmeg, a little cinnamon, some eggs. All it popping.
Shake it up a little bit.
And I'll feel it just going.
Then all of a sudden, little broken pieces of soap fall out, don't it?
Before I get out, though, get up on a little NBA Jam or whatnot, I'm just saying, y'all, like, even for the 10 minutes that I heard, y'all got one of the livest blog shows right now. If you're listening right now, I'm fully endorsing this and Jay Stacker. Y'all, everybody, keep doing y'all thing. I'm loving what y'all doing right now, man. Y'all keep it up. All right.
All right, Black, you hold it down.
All right, for sure. Take care.
Wow.
Well, we just had another run-in, ladies and gentlemen.
Man, that was
Sugar Dunkerson. Sugar Dunkerson.
And he taught you how to make crack.
Right here on Phoning In. You never know what may happen. On the line right now, we've got NWA Anarchy star Jacoby Boykins. Welcome to Phoning It In, Jacoby.
Hey, how y'all doing?
Ram Zachary, what's happening?
Oh, man, what's going on, fellas?
Oh, thanks for joining us. Hope
Thank
you're doing
you
well this holiday season. I know you have kind of an interesting story to tell about what's happened and what did happen with your career in pro wrestling. I know you started out over in the Columbia area and wound up, correct me if I'm wrong, you enlisted in the U.S. Army?
Yeah, I joined the Army in September 2008.
Explain to our listeners what happened once you got in the Army and you're trying to do your pro wrestling thing at the same time.
Well, when I first decided to join the Army, I knew at that point I would have to stop for a little while because I had to go to basic training and to AIT and things of that nature. So I knew for at least a couple months that wasn't going to be an option. But at that time, as far as family needs and financial needs, I was like, I need to do something. And the things I were doing weren't cutting it. So I joined the military. And I left. I did my basic training right there on Fort Jackson, turned right around and went to Virginia and did school. And then they sent me to another school in Missouri. So I was out of the loop for a while. When I got my assignment, they sent me to Fort Benning in Georgia, which is in Columbus. And I needed somewhere else to wrestle. I said, I'm back now. I'm going to wrestle. That's what I want to do. I wasn't breaking any rules. There weren't any rules against me wrestling. And, you know, and of course, it's not like I was making money or under contract with anybody. So I got in touch with Bill Barnes. And I was like, hey, I'm new. I'm in Columbus, and I need somewhere to wrestle. And he gave me the contact numbers to the people I needed to talk to, and he led me right to GCW in Phoenix City and also the APW in Royston, Georgia. I immediately got in touch with Jeremy Vane in Royston, and I spoke with him for a few days, and that same week I was out there wrestling for them. And that was September of last year. And I went all the way from September to February with no issues with the military and me wrestling because it didn't interfere with my work. Besides, we got up early as hell to do anything anyway. So I did that. And it wasn't until after I debuted at Anarchy that an issue arose with my chain of command. Somebody saw fit that they would show pictures to my commander. As a matter of fact, I didn't care because, once again, I wasn't breaking any rules. And they wouldn't let me deploy to Iraq because I was a diabetic. So that's the only reason I was still even in the States, because I was supposed to deploy, but they held me back here. And, you know, I figured since I was going to be back here, I'm going to make the most of the time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I went ahead to go ahead to do that. And I started wrestling, and man, I tell you what, APW helped me a lot. I honed my skills, got better, got invited to Anarchy, went up there and had a very impressive debut there once I got that opportunity. And like I said, somebody took pictures. The next thing you know, I'm in the commander's office, and I hate when people ask you a question when the answer is obvious. He pulls out a picture of me wrestling, and he asks, what is that? And I'm like, it's me wrestling. If that wasn't obvious enough. So, it was just silly. And by the time this happened, I was in GCW on Thursdays for murder.
Say what?
Fridays I was in Royston. And on Saturdays, I was doing Anarchy every other Saturday. So now, you know, I'm on the road. And boom, here goes this momentum killer. It was my commander. Nobody else had a problem with it. My immediate supervisors knew exactly what I was doing. They even watched the YouTube videos of me. And so what was sad about this situation, when he asked them, did they know about it, of course they said they didn't know. So, I don't know if you know anything about that, sir. Yeah, but you just said you watched my video. I got, you know, that was bad. And then
and you weren't the only guy in your unit that was doing some sort of what might be referred to as a moonlighting job.
No. Other people had other jobs. There's guys that do music. I was even helping doing music. It was a lot of stuff going on. Like I said, we were on a rear detachment is what it's called. And since I couldn't deploy, like I said, we had normal work hours. And you know, after I'm released for the day, you know, boom, that's my time, or so I thought. And so a lot of guys had a lot of extra stuff they were doing. So I didn't see wrestling as any problem. Why? Because I would get my ass up and go do PT in the morning. I would go run 2 and 3 miles, or I'd go to the gym and lift weights in the morning and go and come back to work and do what I'm supposed to do for the rest of the day. And yet and still, when they found out I was wrestling, it was an issue. You know what I think? I think a wrestler took my commander's girlfriend in high school, and that's why he didn't like wrestlers. You know what I'm saying?
So what you're saying is he ain't getting no pussy after that?
I think the supply was cut mighty short. So, so like I said, other guys had plenty of moonlighting jobs, and they took it to the effect when they found out I was a diabetic. They decided they were going to release me from the Army, or retire me basically, because I became a diabetic while I was in the service. So they have to compensate you for that, and so. He figured me wrestling wasn't just the best idea because we got people in Iraq doing other things. And I can't say I totally disagree with that, but the way he went about the situation, I really do disagree with. Like I said, once those pictures surfaced, things just went crazy. And he couldn't punish me for the pro wrestling because there was no rule. I wasn't breaking the profile. I didn't have any physical limitations on what I could do. My profile just said, you're a diabetic and you can't deploy. He didn't say anything else. And so, like I said, he couldn't punish me for that. So for the next coming weeks, he found little stuff to get me for. And I was in a serious car accident on March the 10th of this year. And my car was total. I made it out of there. The very next day, you know, well, that same day, I'm released from the hospital. And they're telling me I got to come in and have this appointment, or they're going to give me an Article 15, which is like the worst you can get before a court martial. And I'm like, y'all know I was just in a car accident. Why do I need to come in today? You would think you would need rest after a car wreck. So, but they didn't see that fit. And the very next day, he calls me into his office, and he proceeds to give me an Article 15 for being late, or not showing up to a certain place of duty, as they call it. And they said I was outside of the mileage radius. In the military, you can only go so far away from the base, not from where you live, but away from the base, before you have to ask for what they call a mileage pass. And so it's just like court. I had to go see him about these charges that he pressed against me. Now, the charge of the mileage radius was stupid because I wasn't out the mileage radius according to the rule book that my supervisor gave me. He said the mileage radius was 150, but the book they gave me said 250 miles. But he's charging me for being outside the mileage radius. Dumb. The second one, my supervisor was like, oh, I talked to Boykin, and I knew where he was this morning, so he wanted to know. So, and you know what? The guy said right there and found me guilty anyway, even after my supervisor told him that. So after he found me guilty on everything, he proceeded to take my rank away, he proceeded to take money away from me, and he proceeded to give me extra duty, which means even after the work day, I had to stay another 4 or 5 hours and then be right back in the morning at 5:30. So that was a very hellacious situation, especially when you mess with my money, because I got a family, you know. And Lord knows I'm an independent. I wasn't making a whole lot of money, but they were still wrestling, and I loved to do it. And they proceeded to take wrestling from me. And he said, if I catch you wrestling or see you wrestling, I'm going to give you another Article 15 to make sure you have no rank, and you know, take half month of my pay. And they proceeded to put the wrestling pictures that they got online. They proceeded to take those same pictures and put them up around the job, just to put my pictures on display, my hard work, my passion, my dedication, what I put time into, and make a joke out of it. And I basically, for the next few months, I was basically persecuted for being a professional wrestler, for loving to be a professional wrestler. Anybody that knows me or has known me for any length of time knows that pro wrestling is my life. and for them to just joke and openly joke about it because their rank was higher than mine, and I couldn't technically do anything to them, was unprofessional. It was stupid. I don't like it, and it dumb stuff. TNA came to Columbus. Perfect example. TNA came to Columbus, and this female sergeant I knew was like, "Did you go get tickets already?" I was like, "Yeah." And this guy called him Bullet Bill because he looks like the damn Bullet from Mario Brothers. And he proceeds to say, "I can get people tickets free because I know everybody." Who the hell do I know in the TNA roster? I'm trying to get there. I don't know anybody there yet. You know? And he proceeds to tell me when he played AAA baseball, which was probably in the 40s, that they got tickets to the Braves game because they was on the AAA team. I'm like, God, that's baseball. We're talking about wrestling. That's it's two different things, and that kind of ignorance right there made me want to leave. And and don't get me wrong, the Army is an awesome, awesome, awesome option for anybody, especially our younger youth today, because there's a lot that can go wrong, but the Army can give you a lot of structure. I went in the Army late, but I'm not telling anybody not to join the Army. So I don't want anybody to get that perception because that's not what it is. I'm glad I went. I just didn't like the experience I had when I did go. It wasn't.
Would you have continued on in the Army had this not gone down the way it did?
If I could have kept wrestling and still served, yes, because I love serving. I had no problem doing that. But when you sit there and try to take away the one profession I love more than anything else, then we have an issue because I have goals that I want to reach. I have things I'm attaining and striving for. And when you sit there and try to take my dream away from me just because you can, when I wasn't breaking any rules, but you'll find a rule that I did break and try to, you know, and break me using it, it doesn't make sense. I don't know what their real problem was with me. But if they thought taking pro wrestling away from you is going to make me this super soldier, I don't know what the hell they were thinking, because I did the exact opposite. I didn't care after that point. I went to work and I was there, but it was what it was with them, and even with my supervisors, because NCOs are supposed to have his soldier back. Your supervisor is supposed to have you back in the Army, and that couldn't have been further from the truth.
Mm-hmm.
That couldn't have been further from the truth. So for months and months on end, I'm sitting here having to just watch everybody progress, and I'm not against anybody moving forward, but this wasn't an injury that was keeping me out of wrestling. I was only able to wrestle, but I couldn't because they wouldn't let me. And I don't need anybody to have that much control over what I do in my life.
So you have any trouble with your? Did you have any trouble with your commander before that? Did something else trigger this, or was it just
that's what kills me. I never had an issue with the guy. I thought he looked like Jimmy Neutron, but I didn't have any other issue. But I saw him do a lot of people dirty. I saw him do it to a lot of people, but he never had an issue with me because Larry, y'all, what I was doing, my job was a petroleum supply specialist. I had fueled everything, helicopters, airplanes, whatever the hell we fueled. But on rear detachment, there wasn't anything there to fuel. So what did we do? We had what they call staff duty, where you sit at a desk for 24 hours. You sit there the whole day. You go home. Now, that was my job. That's what they said. They told me you either do staff duty or you deploy. That's what they told me, and I couldn't deploy. So they just kept putting me on the staff duty, When you work 24-hour shifts in a week, you're beat. But you know what? I didn't care then because I still could go wrestle on a Friday night. So you can put me on staff duty any day of the week. As long as I can go wrestle Friday, I didn't care. And that's how it was with me, and that's how I did business. But like I said, once he got some pictures and he saw it, and what's so funny about this situation, when he saw the pictures, he was really excited, like he really wanted to know about wrestling. And I'm like, oh, okay, that's cool. Then he tells me to stop.
So, yeah, because he couldn't do it. That's why.
Yeah, and that's another thing. Most of the guys I worked with were old, fat, and out of shape. And yet and still,
I got a question. How you be fat and out of shape in the Army? I don't feel safe no more.
But see, that's why they were on rear detachment. They weren't in the ward. They were back here.
Mm-hmm. That's what I'm saying. I don't feel safe here, shit. Because one of them fat motherfuckers might get deployed in the National Guard when, you know what I'm saying, the zompocalypse go down. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it's just, like I said, man, the animosity and the hate I received from the guys was crazy. And then all of a sudden everybody wants to wrestle with me. I'm like, they ain't letting me go wrestle, so I'm not going to wrestle y'all. Y'all ain't worth the time. Y'all won't get me a PWI. No promoter would see me wrestling y'all. Y'all are nothing to me.
Hey,
this is not my goal.
You should have chokeslammed one of them motherfuckers and showed them. Damn.
Well,
them on
you know what? I tell you what. Saturday
on a tank tread.
I at one point towards the end of my team, when I found out the exact day I was getting out the Army, of course I was ecstatic because it felt like I was getting release papers, and the Army should never feel like that. But I knew a lot of people that were in worse situations than I was. During PT, guys were picking people up in fireman carries and running around with them. And one dude was like, "I bet you I could pick up Watkins," and I was like, "I don't think that's the route you want to take, player." I don't think it's going to work out too well. So he proceeded to try to pick me up, and I dead weighted him, and he didn't make it 5 feet. Then I picked him up, and I ran laps with him. So, it was quick, and I was like, this ain't what y'all want. It even got to the point where they didn't even want me, because I used to tell them, the only reason I'm doing PT is because I want to look good when I get back to the ring. That was my whole reason for even doing PT. Not because I wanted to be fit for my unit or fit for Kelly Hill. That was never, ever, ever my intention. My intentions for working out hard every morning was to look the best I could and be in the best shape I could when I returned to the ring, because I knew I was going back. And it got to the point where the commander said, okay, y'all can't even go to the gym no more in the morning for PT. Y'all can just walk around the track.
Hey, I just got a text from somebody, and they want me to ask you a question.
Okay.
Hold on, let me read. Hold on. Okay, sum it up. They want to know, is it true that the military put some in your drink so your dick won't get hard?
You know what? I heard that.
Salt Peter.
Yeah, the Peter salt.
No.
Yeah.
Peter salt, what the fuck? Is dick salt?
Yeah.
This
is crazy stuff. But when I first left for the Army, I didn't go right to basic training. I had to wait to go to basic training. And when I heard about it, I was like, is this true? Because I'm like, man, I don't, things ain't going right now. What's up? And, when I thought about it, I was like, well, you know what? Things ain't supposed to be working right because I stay in a room full of 60 guys. You see what I'm saying? So if it's not working, I hope it's to that fact. But they said they didn't. But, you know, who the hell can you trust nowadays? And and
so but you at this point you're free of the military. You're free to do as you please.
As of November 10th, I gave the Army the future endeavor speech.
All right. Do you still drink salt, Peter?
I never did, and I never will.
Since you were so used to it in the Army and stuff.
When I say they only do that in if they did do it, they only do it in training. You know, otherwise, I had control of my beverages.
Hold on, wait a minute. I got one more text. Hold on, let me read it.
Hope it's as good as the last one.
Yeah, I hope it's good. Me too. This is a serious one. This person whose name they want to stay anonymous for security purposes.
Yeah, I'm sure they do.
They said, do you think that the military is listening to this thing right now to see if you say some bullshit about them so they can kick in your door and take you to Guantanamo Bay?
Okay, first of all, I'm going to need for them to know Guantanamo is shutting down. Second, if they are listening to me, I'm going to say, hi, how you doing? Thank you for my severance pay, and I don't work for y'all no more. Does that answer the question? I hope I did.
I think so.
I guess you did. You wake up tomorrow, I know why.
What's next in the in the career of Kobe Boykins, Jacoby Boykins, now that you're free of the military stuff?
You're going to be Ranger Ross?
Huh?
I said, are you going to be Ranger Ross?
No, I'm going to continue to be who I am, and that's the Alabama ambassador. Every day of the week, that's who I am. That Alabama ambassador thing is not a gimmick. That's that's really me. From my music that I'm about to do with DJ Streets to a lot of other things I'm getting into, man. That's just an extension of who I am. My plans now are just to have complete focus on everything I was trying to work on, and that's mainly professional wrestling. This year was a very, very disappointing year to me as far as my wrestling career goes, because I came into this year with so many goals that I wanted to achieve, and I didn't even get to accomplish one of them. But I didn't wrestle for like 8 months. Because Larry, you were at the last show that I was at before I had to stop, which was the Merciless Carnage show in Royston.
Yeah.
And at that point, I just did an injury deal, but, you know, all of that was because of the military. And now that I'm back, man, it's just, I'm glad to be back. I'm looking for 2011 to have a superior impact, more than I ever have. What people don't know is, like, I got put up for a couple of Rookie of the Year awards, and what people don't know is I've been wrestling since 2005.
Well, they ain't seen you. You a rookie.
Well, I'm saying I haven't been able to get a full, complete year in of wrestling. Every year has been something different. Huh?
You're still a rookie, man.
Well, whatever. That's fine. I'll be there. I'm going to be the best rookie I can be. If I'm a rookie, I'm going to be that best rookie. I'm going to play my position, but I'm going to work harder than anybody else because I know that I have to get what I want to get. I know I got to work hard, and I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to let nobody stop me now. Like I said, I'm back at Anarchy. Hopefully that situation, I heard y'all talking about the announcement earlier. Hopefully somebody does come in and takes full control of the ship and does an excellent job at doing it. But I'm not stopping there. I'm going as many places as I can. I'm trying to get my name as far as I can because I want that promoter or that owner to know every time I step in your ring, you're going to get 150% plus on because I'm going to be that guy that's working that hard to try to make it happen because I don't want to stop again. I couldn't even go to wrestling shows once the Army made me stop wrestling because it made me literally sick to my stomach knowing that I could get in the ring and compete, but legally I couldn't do anything. So they wasted a lot of my time. They wasted a lot of my time. And once again, how glad that I joined the Army? Yes, I did, because I was serving alongside my father. My father's still in the military.
Mm.
He still landed down. And my goal was to do half the time he did. Half the time, because I don't know if I can do as much time as he did. Wow. And it's not even the time he did, because he's still in. But
what did your father think of the whole situation?
My dad was the one that kept me with a very, very cool head throughout the situation. He tried to help me as much as he could, and I thank God for him because there had been plenty of days where I just wanted to, you know, just go in the room and just start throwing people because I knew I could do it. And I was talking to my dad or my mom for that matter, and I'm blessed to have both of them because they kept me cool. But he didn't really like the situation. But, you know, my dad is Army. He just made sure I handled my business and got the hell out of there, and that's exactly what I did.
Yeah. All right,
well,
I got another question for you.
Okay, go ahead.
I'm going to lighten it. I got to lighten it up for a minute, you know what I'm saying, because all this talk about government and shit making me scared.
I know you.
You know what I'm saying? Conspiracy. I'm a conspiracy theorist over here, all this damn
all right,
government
all right,
talk.
Buddy.
You know what I'm saying? Trent could be working for the damn CIA or something. But I gotta ask you a question, and this is, you know what I'm saying? This is becoming tradition on the show.
Oh God!
Oh no!
Yeah, Midnight Express. What is your choice of Midnight Expresses? What is your combination, sir?
We want to know if you prefer the Dennis Condrey and Bobby Eaton version or the Sweet Stan and Bobby Eaton version is the actual
question. I really don't care as long as Bobby Eaton is there because he's from Huntsville, Alabama.
No.
I'm going to roll with Bobby Eaton either way because, you know what, that's the only one I remember.
You only remember Bobby Eaton, man? What the fuck? Oh, my God. You're not even a wrestling fan. You're not even a – you know what?
I'm a fan here on the show. You're not even a wrestler now. You're not even a wrestler.
Make him drop and give you 50 for that one, Murder. Come on now.
Man, oh, man. You know what?
You really caught me off guard with that one. I can't even
remember. Oh, see? What the fuck? You don't listen to the show?
The last show that I heard, and I told you,
man,
this
even asked, we even asked Dutch Mantel, man, come on.
Yes.
And he came at it, and then you're going to say some shit. Ooh, if it was just Bobby Eaton, you know, whatever. Who's
you damn right. I like Bobby Eaton. Get over it.
But you straight up eluded the question.
I answered the question the way I wanted to. Hey, I learned that from the military.
That was fuckery right there, man. Somebody call
right,
me and roast this dude.
Jacoby.
Oh, whatever.
We look forward to big things from you in 2011.
You're supposed to be Larry, you know, me and Murder were in the same group earlier this year.
I know.
I kicked out of the conglomerate.
And here he's calling you out.
He didn't know. He couldn't even name the backup player for Bobby Eaton. Man, that's
because I remember Beautiful Bobby. Is that a crime?
That is a crime that you couldn't even name Kenny when Bobby Eaton tagged with Kenny Rogers, or when he tagged with.
How did you know? You didn't let me finish.
Yeah, I did let you finish. You just said
no.
I don't know. It's just as long as Bobby Eaton's there.
Boo. I thought I didn't care.
Hey,
I didn't care and didn't know it's two different colors.
Homeboy,
We got to let our next guest on get on the show here,
go.
Man.
Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot, Jacoby.
Oh. Hey, thank
nice
y'all for having me. Huh?
I might text you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Whatever, bye.
You've been eliminated.
Bye, Jacoby.
I mean, seriously, guys, come on.
Murder, this one goes as a draw. Let's move on. It goes as a draw.
That's exactly what I did not want.
Well, you got it.
Okay.
On the line with us now from Knoxville, Tennessee, the King of the Hill from Knoxville, Shane Williams. Welcome to Phoning It In.
Hey,
this
how y'all doing?
Right here. How you
Ooh,
doing,
man?
King?
Doing good. I was overhearing that last conversation there. Wow. Mercy, that whole Midnight Express thing, good night.
That's
I'm still
we,
shaking
that,
my head
that,
on that.
That's
I'm
how we do it here, man.
That.
See,
boy,
Jacoby,
call them out.
You listening.
Call them out.
You pissed the king off. You pissed the king off, dude.
Well, Murder, let's go ahead. Hey, Murder, let's go ahead and ask Shane. Let's get it out of the way right now, Shane.
Yeah, let's get it out of the way.
Yeah, go ahead, Shane.
Tag team-wise, if we're talking about work-wise, I'm going with Dennis Condrey and Bobby Eaton.
If we're going with TV, put
them on TV and, you know, let's see who's going to, you know, buy a ticket to see these guys get beat up, you know, whatever. I'll go with Sweet Sam Lane.
That's another draw. I'm counting that as a draw.
I like the whole combination. You know, Dennis Condrey brought the whole brute and, you know, the beat down and stuff like that, while Beautiful Bobby did all the high flying stuff. But then when you got Sweet Stan, you know, you got some karate moves.
Yes.
That's all I'm going to say. You know, back in the 80s, karate did sell. Not so much now.
Karate sells.
Back then it did. Sorry about that.
That's all right, King. What's good in the kingdom?
What's new in the kingdom? I tell you what, I'm sitting here with a Mr. Pibb, and I'm watching, talking to you guys, and I'm watching the Devil's Advocate, and... in front of the fireplace right now. It's tough.
Shit right there.
It's a rough night. It's a rough night in the kingdom. That's about it. So it's good times. So what's going on with you guys? I'm sure you guys got some questions and stuff like that, and you know about the Saw TV and all that jazz.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Let's start there. I mean, at this point, you know, your character, so to speak, in Saw basically believes that he's Jerry Lawler.
It's ridiculous. I know, ridiculous. But I am a old school wrestling fan, and I like that. I think I was watching the the salt product, and I thought that was what's missing. There's no old school, nothing there. I mean, I'm sure when Dutch was involved and stuff like that, there was, but not so much when I started watching it and everything. So I thought that what I could bring to the product was maybe a little bit more old school flair and stuff like that versus, you know, your typical run the mill heel and stuff like that. So,
well, now you came in to Saw as the King of the Hill from Knoxville, but so you were already the king, but it wasn't at the level of the king you're doing now in terms of baller as it is now, was it?
No. Yeah, before I was just doing I was just pretty much just doing my normal deal where I'll just pretty much call myself the king, and I didn't wear the Jerry Lawler outfit or anything like that or do my promos and about being wrestling Bruiser Brody or Devon Erics or some other things like that like I do now, but I credit that to Paul Adams and stuff like that, who's really he gives me a lot of room to work with, but he just pretty much pushes me in what direction he wants me to go with it. So I really like it.
The promo where you talked about, going to the Memphis Mid-South Coliseum on Monday night and all the people that were going to be there, the Fargo and Lawler and all that, was that all your doing?
Yes, that was all me. The
cool.
But do y'all remember back when wrestling used to be like that? That's what I miss. Like, I know we have the Monday Night Raw and we have the TNAs and stuff like that, but I miss the deal with the local hero. Like, I know being from Knoxville, Doug Furness, back in the day, Doug Furness would ever be somewhere in town, and you'd walk in and say, oh, there's Doug Furness sitting over there eating at this cafe, Buddy Landale or, the Dirty White Boy, Tony Anthony, any of those guys when I was growing up, when I'd be in Knoxville, and they'd or Ronnie Garvin, any of those guys. But they would, it made it feel like, oh my God, I'm sitting here in a room with a celebrity, and not knowing that not just a celebrity, but like they're just wrestlers, And I think that's the cool thing about this business is, and I think that's what's missing out. And I think with the New York product and all that stuff is totally definitely killed that. But
yep.
A lot of hope and stuff like that. Maybe one day we might see it come back. Who knows?
Well, that's one of the things I really loved about Knoxville. I mean, when I first started going over there for Smoky Mountain, this Ron Wright guy was revered. I didn't know who Ron Wright was.
Oh, my God.
I quickly learned that this was a beloved figure over there.
Yes, and a beloved figure that used to get the cops called on him all the time at shows and everything. I don't know if any of you guys have read Ole Anderson's book. You've read it? Okay. Ole Anderson talks about being sent to Kingsport, Tennessee to wrestle. And he's like, he can hear all this pandemonium going on, and he picks his head around the curtain. And when he picks his head around the curtain, there's two wrestlers. It's Ron and Don Wright. And they're in the crowd beating up the baby faces. And while this is going on, people are throwing trash at them, and cops are hitting Ron and Don Wright with their nightsticks and chasing them around the arena. Ole Anderson peeked his head around the corner and said, "We're never ever coming back here and ever wrestling ever again."
that's really a thing with the death of the territories. There's no local stars anymore. It's only the national stars is what people see as stars.
Yeah, with the wrestling the way it is, and this is, I tell you what, in Nashville itself, and as big as a how much of an old school fan I am, like I think in the bigger cities, and if the TV is pushed properly, I think you can still have that. I mean, if it's done, I think of course done with the right guy and everything, and definitely if the guy has a passion for the business and everything like that, like I know him. In Nashville, I mean, they're all over Chase Stevens. all over him with as far as like Babyface and being a big, you know, celebrity, local celebrity and stuff like that, as far as that, definitely with the Salt TV goes.
Yeah, I mean, Nashville's really different in that way, where there's still an element of that, where a guy like Chase Stevens, you know, and of course he did have some national stardom, but he has some local celebrity. I mean, there's not too many markets where that's even the case anymore.
There's not. That's why I like Nashville so much. I like that city. And being from Knoxville, wrestling is pretty much dead. Like it's a dead business. I mean, there's definitely your shows here and there, and they definitely try doing TV here and there, but nothing ever catches fire at all, or, you know, gets any momentum behind it or anything. So it's all kind of, you know, it all normally just falls by the wayside, and it all kind of feels like the same indie crap night show, just like they're doing down the road. But
well, you just answered one of my questions, which is why does a guy from Knoxville spend so much time wrestling in Nashville?
Because of that opportunity, there's a lot of. I feel like there's a lot of opportunity with us all, and I think there's a lot of opportunity with being in that bigger market. You know, I try to.
Well, Chase,
go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, go ahead, Chase. Go ahead.
I have no national claim to fame, so I've never been on national TV besides doing like a little bull crap extra spot or something like that on WWE or whatever. But I try to, and that with that Lawler thing, I think it helps me stand out a little bit more than the rest. Besides just coming out there and locking up and grabbing an arm and going from there, you know. So.
Well, Chase Stevens, I mean, certainly has his fans in Nashville, and I like Chase Stevens, but
yeah.
I don't think Chase can walk the streets of Nashville. He may look like somebody when you see him, wouldn't know, but I don't think he would be a household name among people in Nashville, you know.
I beg to differ.
Really?
I beg to differ. Yeah. I think.
Well, you've been known to socialize with Chase a bit. You may know more about this than we would. So.
yeah, I would. Listen, if it wasn't, I hate to put this guy over, and I'm glad he's actually not in the same room I am. But if it weren't for this guy, if it weren't for Dr. Tom Pritchard, and if it weren't for Tracy Smothers, and if it weren't for Chase Stevens, I guarantee you I would still be wrestling in the back of a pool hall in Maryville, Tennessee, because they definitely know exactly what they're doing. I mean, that we definitely all have our faults, and we all have our demons that we have to battle. But you know, it's what you pick up along the way, and he's pretty over it. I think if that Saul product could grow and if it could get bigger, I could his name would definitely get a lot bigger with that product.
Well, just let me ask you about like doing the gimmick. Now, I saw you in Nashville years ago, and you weren't doing straight up Lawler, but there was Lawler influences there. But now you're doing more of a, you know, I guess a parody of Lawler, but.
Yeah.
These guys that do like straight up copycat gimmicks, you know, the guys that are doing maybe a Jimmy Valiant gimmick or a Stone Cold gimmick on the indies. No. Do you think that's a good thing to do, or do you think it's a thing that really can't go anywhere long term?
Yeah, you have to take the best of both worlds. And I was a guy that when I first started into wrestling, I figured in order for me to ever make it, I was going to have to learn how to do a moonsault, you know. And then you have, of course, you know, have your guys. I see a lot. All these guys right now trying to be like Randy Orton, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think if you're able to take definitely not the stuff that's on national TV right now, but a lot of stuff from the past, and mix it with some of the stuff that you that's seen on TV these days with like some of the moves, but take some of the deals from the past as far as how you work or how you carry yourself and stuff like that. I think it works. Definitely not with the Stone Cold Steve Austin deal, because that'd definitely be really hard. But I can see that working with a friend of mine, Ryan Genesis, that we go to Texas and work for. He lives in Texas, but he's not from Texas. He's from Seattle, Washington. So every time I go down to Texas and I work for him, I'm always telling him, because I got on the microphone one night at the first night of the show and said something about how trying to get some heat, and I said something about the Von Erichs, and man, the people went crazy. I said they just went absolutely nuts, and people. I felt sorry for the workers there because not too many of the workers obviously don't know too much about the Von Erichs, but he kind of resembles a little bit of a little bit of Kerry Von Erich, and I'm trying to talk him into start throwing the discus punch and doing some things like that. And that, man, he does it, and he acted one night like he was going to put the claw on me, and those people were going crazy. I mean, it's just like little things like that we see in our business. Now, you take a guy and you put him up on top of a cage and you say, hey, and he does a 450 somersault plancha splash into the crowd and gets the same reaction with a guy that grabs his wrist and like acts like he's going to put the claw on somebody. And these people are going crazy. So, you know, it gives you hope.
We've actually had this discussion on the show several weeks back, you know, about whether the old stuff can work today or not, or if wrestling needs to move on and change. I kind of think it can, because, like, I was making analogies, like, when somebody hits a home run, people still get excited in baseball. Somebody scores a touchdown, they still get excited in football, but in wrestling, some of the stuff you do, do you think it would work, like, outside of the South? Do you think it's limited to that scope?
Let me tell you, I like it. I would love more than anything to be able to do a Ring of Honor show working the way I work. I would love it. I'm sure I'd get booed out of the building, but I would love it just for the simple fact just to show them that's different. I mean, Lawler took what he does and took it up north and ran a program with Bret Hart, and got tons of heat off of it, And I'd love to get an opportunity like that. But I think the stuff now, what happens again with anything, of course, definitely with this business, is it's easy to forget moves, and it's easy to forget holds, and it's easy. You don't see that stuff. You know, we definitely see arm drags, and we definitely see hip tosses, we definitely see backdrops. But how often have, you know, nowadays I guarantee you somebody could put somebody on in a short arm scissors on Monday Night Raw, and everybody would go, and they could actually get that over as a legit submission hold.
Well, your last TV match with Chase Stevens, where you squeezed him in a head scissors on the mat for 2 minutes. I can't remember the last time I saw somebody do that with a head scissors on the mat.
It's a hold, you know, but it takes two guys. This business has so many people that has forgot the art of this business. The art of this business is all of us working together. Not when we're just, of course, out there in the ring, but also in the back. But, of course, when we're in the ring, we all have to work together to get it all over. Whether it's me putting the hold on, whether it's the guy that's sitting, you know, that's selling the hold, and then even the referee right there in between us working the whole deal out and getting that hold over. I mean, it takes all three of us. So, you know, shout out to Chase Stevens and whoever my referee was that night, I guess, for actually helping me out on that.
Yeah, okay, but Larry, but let's break this down a little bit, because that match you're talking about, we're talking about a 25 or 30-minute match on TV. When you reviewed it, you know, they broke it up with four commercial breaks, and it's hard to keep people's attention with a match that long on TV. What do you think of that, James?
I agree with you guys on that right there, 100%. That's not a TV match whatsoever. That definitely right there is a house show match right there.
Yeah.
Right, obviously.
But how often do these days? No, actually, you know what? To be honest with you, that actually would be a TV match, but it would not be a WWE style TV match, or it would not be like an NWA TV match, you know. But you know, that's definitely how things definitely have changed, you know.
You know, when I watch you in the ring, it's like, at points, you're drawing on influences that the people watching the matches have never even been exposed to. I mean, it's
sad.
It's old enough that the only thing is, it's old enough that it's new to them. But can they grab onto it and see it as new and interesting? You know.
Yeah.
I guess it's sort of like this.
That's my challenge, and that's what I like. I like being able to go out there and and throw a punch, and you know, that's it. You know, I'll definitely do some throw some new influence in and stuff like that. But I love being able to throw a punch and getting a punch over versus having to climb up to the top rope and do a 400, 450 splash, you know, anytime.
You can save that shit.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Ring of Honor, Shane, because just a couple weeks ago, I live in Louisville now, and Ring of Honor had two back-to-back tapings at Davis Arena, and I was talking to Larry about this just phone conversation, and, you know, there are no heels there, you know, and it's...
Okay. That's exactly what me and my friends are talking about. Because I would love to take like just a Tennessee style and do kind of like I wish we could do like a Tennessee style like kind of invasion. Because if we did a Tennessee style invasion on a Ring of Honor, so you talking about baby faces being made left and right? I think it could happen. Because those guys definitely do bust their ass, and they, you know, they definitely get over on their moves. But man, if you had a guy out there that's just work, you know, getting over with the crowd and just, you know, doing his southern stick, I think it'd get over like Rover up there.
Well, you could see that a couple of the OVW fans that are into the southern stick, a couple of the workers actually went over to those people just to get reactions, you know, because you could see the workers want to be heels there, but the fans, there's just not that emotional thing going on, you know what I mean?
There's
just
no
kind of watching the moves.
There's no attachment. And this is what I tell some of the guys. And I've just been wrestling. I've been traveling now for about 5 years, but I've been wrestling for about 9 now. But the thing I tell the guys, I'm 5'9", and I'm not 250 pounds. So you have to find a way to be able to stand out from everybody else. You can't just go out there and Dr. Tom Pritchard told me that if you're going to base your whole wrestling career around, you know, if you can do the best moonsault, or if you can do the best, 450 splash or whatever, the best Hurricane Rana, I guarantee you there's going to be somebody out there that can probably do it just a little bit better than you. So you might as well find something that makes you stand out and just go with that. So, you know, my great-grandmother just made me watch a lot of Memphis wrestling when I grew up, so I just go ahead and snag all the Jerry Lawler stuff and just go with that.
You know, regarding your size, I was reading about Edward Comprantier and how he, you know, he was only 5'8" or 5'9", but was a main eventer and regarded as a main event top guy everywhere he went. And I just, you know, you carry yourself in such a way that you're like a much larger person than you really are. How the hell do you pull that off?
Let me tell you, the guys give me shit all the time because of that. I'll go and I'll buy the flashiest shirt I can find that has the most sequins, the most obnoxious things I can find to wear out. And, you know, I want to be that guy that when I walk into a club, or I walk into a restaurant, or just walk into a show, that even a fan that hasn't seen me work before looks at me and goes, man, I'd really like to punch that guy in the face. Because that right there helps me out and makes my job so much easier. Because when that guy finally punches me in the face, oh my God, I'm going to cry to high heaven that guy punched me in the face and hopefully get disqualified for it. So. That's about it. You guys got any more questions or anything like that?
Well, Larry.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you mentioned the influence of Tom Pritchard and Tracy Smothers.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate a little bit on the influence they had in your career?
I got lucky enough, and Dr. Tom Pritchard got released by WWE, and he moved with his family to Pigeon Forge, and he showed up at this, and you know, in East Tennessee, I don't know how that works everywhere in Georgia or any place else, but in East Tennessee, we're not really too picky about where we put on wrestling shows at. So this happened. This night happened to be one of the highlights of my career, where Shane Williams was going to be making an appearance at some bar that they had in a barn. I forget the name of it, but
a barn. A barn.
Yeah. You know what? Whatever. Right? And he ends up showing up there, and I told him, I had a conversation with him about, told him pretty much how I was a broke struggling independent wrestler, and I really wanted to learn this business, and I didn't have anything to pay him, but I could help him out or whatever I had to do, I'd do, and he pretty much I got helped out by I'd drive him to a lot of shows and whatever I had to do to try to learn this business any way I possibly could. And then with that, when hooking up with Dr. Tom helped me getting on to NWA Rocky Top, which was a promotion deal that they started in Knoxville. Man, I forget the year of that. I'm going to say like 2000, what did you say, 2005, 6, something like
that? Yeah, it was right around there, yeah.
And from there, I got hooked up with Tracy Smothers doing TV. Dr. Tom, actually, Jimmy Golden, of course, was the main booker for that, and Dr. Tom helped out. And Jimmy Golden had me kind of dress up like the Black Scorpion, and I had to do a match. I was some guy's partner, pretty much the guys would get beat up the entire time, and against Ricky Morton and Tracy Smothers. And Tracy Smothers did the whole thing where he said, "Hey, kid, who trained you?" And I, of course, told him. I didn't tell him anything about working with Tom. I just told him the guy that actually broke me in. And Tracy actually dislocated my jaw that day. And ever since then, though, he helped me out a lot by helping me out with shows, showing me how, you know, to make ends meet on the road, you know. Definitely getting started, not going to make any decent payoffs or anything like that. But and then just helping me out in the ring as far as how to work the mic and get my heat and keep my heat throughout my matches and stuff. And Tom was great with that too. Tom was really, 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 really good. He taught me, you know, the biggest thing he taught me was, if you want to stand out from the rest of the guys, it's very easy in this business. And I said, "What?" And he looked at me and goes, "You just got to go out there and do something different." So for every time I'd have to drive him to the shows, I'd get in trouble if I didn't watch all the matches. So I'd drive to the shows, go in. I'd ask him, you know, where I could sit a chair and watch the matches, and you know, I'd sit there and watch all the matches and go out there and just do something different. And sure enough, it actually worked. So there you go.
You got any interesting stories from your recent series of shows you did with Ken Doan?
Yeah, we had a great time. Man, I actually got the opportunity to work him in Evansville, Indiana, one time. They're a shorter guy, and I went up there, and they were like, "Hey, you're working Ken," and I was like, "Okay." So we went out there and worked, and I called out something that I think that he was like, that he forgot, and he liked that, and then we did a show, I think, in Nashville, had a good time, and I had a great time with him, you know. We did Pigeon Forge. There's shows that they do up in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, and it worked really, really well. And then coming up here, I think at the end of this month, he's going to be traveling with us down to Texas to do some shows down there too. So it's always good when you're able to get in. I love when I'm able to wrestle and I'm able to get in there with somebody else that's able to wrestle too. You know, and you're not having to get in there with a guy thinking, like praying to yourself, is tonight the night that a guy's going to actually throw a punch and knock my front teeth out, or is this the night that I'm going to grab a guy and hold, and or he's going to grab my arm and hold, and he's going to stomp on it and break my arm, you know. I like being able to get in there with somebody that I know that I'm safe with and I can actually have a good match. And he knows what his role is, and I know what my role is. It's always a good time.
Now, well, you mentioned not being picky about where you work. Now, I have to ask you, what –
No. I didn't say I wasn't picky. I am very picky, actually.
Wait a minute now. I want your opinion of Bill DeShields. I know you worked for him some back in the day. And listen, Shane. No, listen here. I know the guy pays, and you guys are trying to make money, and I understand that. But
yes.
To me, you know, he's just bad for it. He's got no business being around it on any level, you know.
What do you think
on him?
Can I jump in real quick, Trent? You, I was just saying to myself that you ain't talk shit about nobody yet.
Right. I've been saving it.
You. I was about to say you waited for this, didn't you? Give me the scoop on this dude real quick before you know what I'm saying. You go bashing him because you know I like to know the details before.
He's basically a real sleazy gay guy that hangs around wrestling and runs a flea bag hotel and he likes young boys in their underwear. Okay.
That's good enough for me.
That's a straight shooter for you.
Get him. Hey, roast him. Tell me something else.
Tony Falk. Well, go ahead, Shane. Go ahead.
Hey, bro, on this show,
I'm
going
to sugarcoat it.
On this show, there's no such thing as sugarcoat. If you feel like you want to sugarcoat it, it's not worth talking about.
It is not worth talking about. You know, listen, there's a good band. Actually, there's a great band out there. And it's, the name of the band's called AC/DC, okay?
Yeah.
And AC/DC once wrote a song that said, it's a long way to the top if you want to rock and roll. So, you know, whatever. You know, some guys are struggling out there. Listen, the economy's bad. Still got bills to pay. I fully understand. Right. But I also believe that if you're wanting to actually learn, and the big key word there is learn this business, then you have to associate yourself with people that can actually help you learn this business. I mean, we can go anywhere.
Did I get the translation right of what you just said? Is it what, you know what I'm saying, what I'm thinking you're saying?
Well, go ahead, Murder. Translate it. What did you want to translate it?
Okay, because you know how my mind thinks. I mean, he said it very politely. So are you saying that there's some people out there letting this man suck on their thing to get a place somewhere, but you, my friend, are not one of those guys because you're taking the hard road to get to the top of the game?
Yeah. There you go.
See, some of our listeners, man, they won't follow that shit. You just got to come right out there and say, man, he puts his dick in people's mouth and tells them that they going to do shit.
We already had
a discussion of a dude that put a belt on a chick thinking he was going to get some pussy and he didn't get shit.
Well,
so the belt got taken off of him. You know what I'm saying?
Live and learn.
But for those people that he's talking about that did that, that's nasty, and it's not the right way to do shit.
You don't
like that with another man's thing in your mouth.
No.
My take is nobody should work for the guy, but he pays money, and I understand people want money, but dear God, you know, that's my take. I don't even care about the rest of that.
No.
I was just saying don't sugarcoat.
Yeah. Well, Shane, let me ask you this. What is your opinion of Burt Prentice?
Oh boy.
you know what? He knows the business.
Yes, he does.
I can throw money underneath the bus. And I can, you know, I can, but he knows the business.
Oh,
and
I can tell you this.
I am a firm believer in learning to wrestle, but also learning the business side too. So,
Burt's a hustler, man.
Yeah, he is. And that's what this business it's turned into.
Yes,
it's turned into a giant hustle, you know. So, that's just something you have to learn. A lot of guys don't take that time to learn that Andy.
And those
days.
Are the ones that are sucking on that dude's ding-a-ling.
Yeah, well, that's true. but the bad thing about that when he's done hustling, there's not too many hustlers. That's one less hustler that's not in the wrestling game anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Hey, you did I understand right that you and Chase recently ventured down to Columbus, Georgia?
We sure did.
Esteemed Dynasty Championship Wrestling at the Taekwondo Studio in Columbus. Is that right?
We actually did.
What was that like for you?
There's another night of Chase Stevens against King Shane Williams. is what it was. So.
Yep, and y'all probably, and you know what? Y'all probably went out there and worked harder than you had to.
No.
you probably went out there and worked way. You tore the roof off the motherfucker. Then you was like, wait a minute.
I tell you what I did. I threw a punch, and I punched him in the face, and then he came after me, and I jumped out of the ring, and then I strutted around like I was the king of the world, pretty much.
And I bet you that was 80 times better than what they saw the rest of the night, too.
You know what? To be honest with you, it probably was.
I mean, you know, let's keep it real.
I try to class it up a little bit, but it probably was.
I mean, hey, bro, I've been there.
Yeah,
I've got to pay,
you know,
and...
I just don't understand.
Somebody.
You know what? I have a problem understanding, and I'm to the point now that I used to, when I at least in East Tennessee, forever, all the guys called me an asshole because they'd come back and they'd ask me what I thought about their match, and I'd tell them. Well, they asked me to watch, and so I'm gonna tell them, you know, what I thought. Nowadays, I don't really open my mouth too much, but man, if I knew that I had a guy that's going to be working on a show with me that wrestles at least 3 to 4 times a week, you know what I would do? I would watch that. I would bring a video camera and I would tape his match and I'd take it home and I'd watch it and learn and watch it and just to see why he did what he did. And then when I actually had to wrestle again, I tried to incorporate some of those things into my work.
For sure.
And these guys at some of these shows were seriously they don't care. And it just amazes me. And then they just are just happy just to be out there playing wrestler and, you know, doing their deal.
In front of their grandma and their son.
Yeah,
and they'll never go anywhere, and that's what's hurting the business so bad.
Oh, you're telling me it's hurting. It's what has killed, and it kills our businesses is because of that. Just all these
guys.
Guys.
I'm gonna tell you. I'm gonna tell you a little secret about the show that you did work.
Yeah,
that guy created that. He started that company because he wasn't good enough to work in other places.
Oh, I believe it. That's how every show starts. I got in Knoxville. In Knoxville, we used to do this big show at this flea market called Green Acres Flea Market. Man, there was a
yeah, I remember that.
But this promoter and with Tom being on board, people would get released from WWE and would want a payday, so Dr. Tom would get them booked and they'd come up there and work. And this promoter just he's so lucky. And Tom left. And then, of course, so did all that special talent. And then some people weren't getting booked. So what did they do? They just went out and bought their own ring and then started doing their own little wrestling shows. So now Knoxville went from having two shows, but one actually good show, to now it has 5 or 6 just bad shows. So, you know.
Well, you know what? I got an idea. When we go off the air, shoot Larry, or Larry can give me your contact information because I'm actually my friend, Larry,
yeah.
And this is breaking news. I was going to break it later, but, you know, here we go. You know Josh Wheeler, co-creator of Pro Wrestling Evolution, blah, blah,
mm-hmm.
blah. He's about to start running the show down into that in the little area where the show was, where His Royal Highness and Chase were Saturday.
Okay.
And that show is going to be on February 12th. So on next show after that, how's about if I book you so y'all can come in and then y'all, you know, not saying that, you know what I'm saying, that people or whatever, but, you know, you guys can work, you know, some of the roster that I'm assembling.
Hey,
that's right, Larry. I said I'm assembling. And we can, you know what I'm saying? I could give you a more pleasant experience in the Chattahoochee Valley than that bullshit
you
know what I'm saying?
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well,
yeah, Larry has all my contact information.
And you'll be very pleased if you can get Mr. Shane Williams on your show. You're going to have somebody who can really, you know, you got a top flight worker.
You got endorsed by the Goodman.
Hell yeah.
Wow, that's something.
Hell yeah.
I know.
Very
good. I'm Listen, I'm going to sleep like a champ tonight because of that right there.
Man, that's like a Mason blessing or something.
Who would you, you were talking about, you know, Nashville and guys you feel good about being in the ring with. Who would you put in the upper echelon guys in the Nashville area that you respect and want to work with?
Ooh, man, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. That is a tough one. Are we talking about young talent? Are we talking about older talent?
Guys that would still be working in the area now.
It's hard for me to relate to some of those guys in Nashville just because, like, I travel, you know, and I know a lot of those guys, some of those guys don't, you know. I tell you, a good friend of mine and a guy I've had a really good match with, and I'm trying desperately to bring him over to Saw, is Lonnie Kilohaw. He's a good guy. He did it for a little bit, but he left. I'm trying to get him to come back, and there's a ton of talent. Don't get me wrong, ton of talent. But I tell you, my thing is I love to wrestle characters. I like anybody that has like a character or some kind of persona or something like that that's already over. It makes my work so much easier versus I have to go out there and just, you know, some plain Jane guy that just has, you know, is coming out just to his regular name, you know. I like characters. I like character wrestling. I know it's just easier for me. I don't know really how to explain it.
Character wrestling is a Southern thing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it is. Oh yeah.
That's how I like my wrestling. I like characters. I just don't want to see two dudes rolling around in their drawers with their real name.
Amen.
Fuck it.
Amen.
I go as far as to say I want to see a fucking clown. Shit.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. I mean, look at where we're at right now, and look how the business is going. I mean, you got shows being put on in barns. I mean, Jesus. I mean, at least it don't have to be two guys that are pasty pale out there with their T-shirts on and their tights their grandma bought them off High Spots for Christmas. You know, at least we can give them some characters. At least we can make this kind of entertaining. At least we don't have to insult them and say,
you give me a Freeza Thompson remake, I'm happy.
Mr. Jones.
Mr. Jones.
Oh, hey, Shane, let me ask you, do you have an opinion on the other Saw doing what is billed as the final Nashville Fairground show on January 29th with Bill Dundee and Jerry the King Lawler on top?
Is it going to happen?
Well, it was announced on my board, so surely to God it is.
Well,
I don't know, as far as I know it is. Well, what do you mean is it going to happen? Have you heard something different that it's not going to happen?
I don't know. Man, it gets me fired up. Those
spit it out, spit it out, spit it out, buddy, spit it out.
Why do they still call themselves Saw for?
Whoa, there's two Saws.
Wait a minute now.
They were actually Saw before the Saw you're working for was Saw.
Were they? Why would they continue to copy a deal that has TV though? I mean, that's kind of like WCW doing TV, and then you people walking around advertising an independent show called WCW.
Well, who are they?
Well, Shane, they would argue that they started as Southern All Star, and they're still Southern All Star.
Southern All Star.
Yeah. Well.
You know, and Saw is Showtime.
I don't understand.
The thing about it to me is they've never done a show at this level, and
no.
I don't
no,
even
they
have a knock to them,
it's
but
so
but
big. They can't even fix
I don't
up
know
that
why
building. Last time I was out that building, there was no heat. And I went out. I remember I went out and I wrestled Chase Stevens in a 45-minute match. There's no heat. We come back and we're soaking wet, and then they're gonna go for that big of an upgrade. You know. Good luck to
well,
them.
Just,
I mean,
yeah,
I hope
yeah,
they do
mean,
a good.
Yeah,
I hope you know. I hope they don't. I hope. I mean, there's a lot of. There've been a lot of bad shows in Nashville. I mean, a lot. A whole
yeah.
lot. know, so hopefully they at least do the business some good, you know.
Well, the thing about it is, you know, my take on it is, why would they be doing the final show at the fairgrounds? They don't really have any history at the fairgrounds.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing.
Let's go straight forward with it. Why is it Bill Dundee wrestling Jerry the King Lawler? Huh? Why's that?
Who should it be? Shane Williams?
It should be me. We should be wrestling Jerry the King Lawler. That's who exactly it should be.
I'm glad you brought that up. What have you been dealing with Jerry Lawler?
How long is this guy going to sit on his throne and keep calling himself King, and he's going to be on Monday Night Raw being doing color commentary?
He almost won the title, for God's sake.
Well, you know what? It's his birthday. I go above and beyond the Call of Duty on my birthday, too. Last time for my birthday, I went line dancing, right? My birthday,
oh my God.
I went salsa dancing, right? And then I came home with two girls, and I had two shots of Patron, and I stayed up all night long. Whoop-dee-dee-doo.
Doing King shit.
Well, Murder One.
It's ridiculous, don't you think? I mean, ridiculous. Come on. Last show at the fairgrounds, why not Jerry Lawler do something positive for the business of professional wrestling and pass the torch to another guy that calls himself the King? I dare him to. I dare him. I dare any of these guys to do that. See, now you got me fired up. Sorry.
Jerry,
I went all night long without trying to get fired up and go and call promo cutting mode.
I love it when people come on here and call other motherfuckers out, man. This is like the second week in a row. Dark City called out every tag team in the universe.
Yeah.
And this dude just came out here and called out Jerry the King Lawler.
I'm in the business of making a name for myself, and I'm trying to make a name for myself. And you know what? I was told back in the day, if you want to make a name for yourself, you go for the guy on top. You know what? And the guy that's been on top. Have I wrestled Jerry? Oh, I've wrestled Jerry Lawler several times. But
have
never.
Have you ever beaten him?
Have I ever beat him? Huh?
Yeah.
Have I ever beat you? Yeah, one time.
Yeah. Oh.
One time.
So. And it could be done again. Now, Jerry Lawler wrestled this man at damn fairgrounds. Make it a three-way.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, make it a three-way. I'll take
Shane,
you know what? I'll start calling myself the king of Knoxville and the superstar of Nashville. You know what? I can go two names. Whatever. I mean,
when you wrestled Lawler, did you wrestle him as the king when you wrestled him?
Yes, I did. But not not with my Lawler gear on, though. Not with
you
my should've. Lawler gear on. Yeah, I should have.
Hey,
next time I will.
Do you have the old school crown, the crown goatee?
Oh, I got two. No, do I have the crown goatee? No, I do not have a crown goatee.
That's what you need to rock, man.
Let me
man.
Go ahead and tell you, crown goatees are disgusting and they're nasty.
You got the baby blue one strap gimmick going with you?
I wear black because I'm a heel, and
come on, King. Now you got to upgrade, man. You got to get the powder blue.
Baby blue? You know I'm wanting.
You got
I'm,
to.
I'm
that's
not,
what the King. The King did it.
Well,
hey,
if I wrestle
hey,
Lawler, I make. I'll tell you this. If I wrestle Lawler and I ever get a chance to wrestle Lawler at the Nashville Fairgrounds or in Memphis, Tennessee, or heaven forbid, he actually comes to my neck of the woods in Knoxville, Tennessee, without pitching a fit, I'm planning on getting an all-white outfit made. All white.
Yes, and bleed all over that motherfucker, too.
Oh, yeah, I will. Oh, yeah. It'll be disgusting.
You know
actually,
what?
I won't bleed.
You know what, King?
I won't bleed. It'd be his blood.
Let me be the first to challenge you to an empty arena match. I'm gonna be your Terry Funk.
Oh my God, I can see our TV going down right now. Isn't that what happened?
Let's do it.
I can feel the TV ratings going down. That's what happened.
See, because look, I'm in the Funk family, so you know what I'm saying. I got to pick up. You know what I'm saying? Where they left off. So I'm going to have to come out.
I'm a big Terry Funk fan myself, so all of them.
Well, Murder,
Funk,
you better,
Jr., all
hey, Murder, you better be careful because Shane here is the king of the invisible foreign object, just like Jerry Lawler, so watch it.
You know what? And the fireball, too, so don't test me.
Yeah, the fireball, too, yeah.
So, that was a great fireball. When you throw an Eric Andrews, is a great fireball. Hey, you know, he instead of pulling the strap down, he pulls the strap up.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right. You know,
I like
when it's time to get serious, listen, when it's time to get serious, it's time to strap on. So, you know, it's whatever.
I got you, bro. Strap up.
Shane, have you got any wild Terry Landell stories?
Oh, my God. Woo, boy.
Yeah,
I sure did. This is my wild Terry Landell story. I was trained to wrestle. I wrestled up at LMU, Lincoln Memorial University, on a baseball field one day, and spent all day driving there with a news reporter who is also a manager. And the only reason he was a manager is because he's a news reporter, and they knew that he'd get the ad in the paper or whatever. And we get there, and I do my match, and I come back, and they want to interview me for they want to introduce me to Terry Landell. And I walk up to Terry. They bring me over to Terry Landell, and Terry Landell says hi and whatever, and then he proceeds to book me for a 25-man battle royal deal he was doing in Knoxville, and I proceeded to tell him I'd be there, and then day of the show, I didn't show up. So that's my experience with Terry Landell.
Wow.
Yeah. He's a different kind of guy. I just try not to associate myself with people like that. And like I said, I try to bring a little class to this business, you know? So he's definitely not too classy of a guy.
Is he still running shows in the Knoxville area?
Hey, what now?
Is he still running shows in the Knoxville area?
Yes, he is. He's not actually running shows necessarily, because I actually consider shows actually be a form of entertainment. I'd say he's doing something with two dudes getting in the ring and rolling around together, that's for sure. And they're all free. Nobody has to pay, because he says he's giving back to the community or giving back to the kids, which is, of course, a work with inside of a work, and, you know, whatever. And then, of course, any kind of opportunity he can to trash me or any other guys that's trying to further themselves in wrestling in East Tennessee, he does. So,
Let me ask you this. Just out of curiosity, now Travis Sawyer. Now is that a bunch of BS? Him being Buzz's son, and also that was it Robbie Race being Holly Race's grandson? Is that all a bunch of crap or what?
The Robbie Race deal is a bunch of crap.
Okay.
And the whole Travis Sawyer deal, that's legit. That's
really
legit right there. Yeah, mm-hmm. Sure is.
Wow.
That is legit. But I don't think either one of those guys actually travel and wrestle that much anymore. I know. I think Robbie Race actually is trying to become a police officer or something like that. And I think Travis Sawyer he still wrestles a little bit, but locally, and is trying to stay in school or get back in school or something like that. So,
okay, Murder One. I actually have Murder. Get ready. I have one more controversial question for Mr. Williams. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Now, Shane. Now, on Thanksgiving night in Nashville on Trinity Lane for old school wrestling, there was rumors going around that many of the wrestlers had partaken in let's say, the bubbly before their matches.
Yes.
Any comment?
Well, I know the drink I was drinking wasn't bubbly. So.
what were you drinking?
Oh, it's actually a local drink of mine. I didn't make it myself, but an uncle of mine made it. It's
moonshine.
I don't know what y'all. Yeah, is that what y'all call it here in Georgia?
Moonshine.
Yeah.
Moonshine.
Yeah, that's not too bubbly. It's just pretty much just straight up.
Oh.
Yes, sir. It's that old Duke Boy juice right there.
That is. It's amazing because every time I try to actually talk, every time I take a drink of that and try to talk, the voice that would come out of my mouth actually sounded like the General Lee, jacked up.
Yes, sir. Then that was the good shine.
Yeah, it was. It's actually from
Gatlinburg. How was your match?
How was my match? My match was is phenomenal. It was actually pretty brutal. It definitely was a beat down. So that's the only problem with actually having to wrestle a boxer sometimes, I guess.
Mm.
Yeah. So whatever. Is that it? Was that the only controversial question?
That wasn't controversial at all.
I know. Jeez. Right, that wasn't bad at all. I thought it was going to be you had like an ex-girlfriend of mine in the studio, and she wanted to say that she's pregnant with my baby or something. I was like, whoa, Jesus Christ. That's controversial.
You're saving it for the last air.
I guess it's controversial to the fact if guys are going out there and working pickled, that's probably not the best thing. That's one thing I meant.
Well, it wasn't pickled. Heckle. Nobody was drunk or anything like that.
Dude, were you born in the 30s?
Born in the 60s.
Pickled, man, shit. You said some craziest shit, boy.
Pickled.
See, this is the time, King, where Trent just, he said some weird shit. He said something weird as fuck last time, and I had to translate it.
Oh, that's fun.
I think I seen pickled on a Heckle and Jekyll cartoon or something one time when I was a kid.
Have you got any good Sean Schultz stories?
Oh, boy. Hey, I got some WikiLeaks shit on that, too, but we're going to save that for the WikiLeaks
show.
For the WikiLeaks show, you know what I'm saying? We're going to save that one.
WikiLeaks show. No, not really. you know, I probably could dig. There's nothing really there. I mean, he's not in my crew. I'm going to tell you that. So he's not in the crew that I run with. So
who's in your crew?
He used to hang tough with Sigmund.
Huh?
I said he used to hang tough with Sigmund.
Yeah, I heard there's a little fallout. I heard that they had a little fallout here in Georgia. Sean and Sigmund did. Yeah, I have. I saw Sigmund at the last Saul show, but I know he's traveling a lot with and doing a lot of shows with David Young and stuff like that now.
Yeah.
But as far as like anything interesting about Sean, no, not so much. He never really. I just see him at the shows and that's it. I never traveled with him, never did any. As far as I do is I get to the show and he's there and then I'm there.
Who's in your crew?
Well, I travel with, I used to travel with, of course, me and Chase and then, of course, Tommy before he got signed. A new guy from Cleveland, Chad Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Used to Derek King before he floundered out. I don't know what happened to him. He came back from Texas with us, then he disappeared. I think he got married or something. Anybody else? I might be forgetting some people. I think that's about it. But I know I tell you what, I was having dinner tonight and I was talking about how this is definitely, how traveling and stuff like that and how this business is. I mean, there's not a lot of that left. And some guys can take it and some guys can't. So, I know that at least once a month, I'm going to spend 12 hours in the car and I'm going to go to Texas and do a show. Just for the simple fact, just because I've always wanted to wrestle in Texas. And I think Texas used to be huge on wrestling. And I tell you what, you go out there now and it is dead.
Mm-hmm.
Dead.
Really?
And it's a sad, sad story to think that World Class and all the shows that they used to do there at the Dallas Stadium and all that stuff, and now if they did a show, they would laugh at them. If seriously somebody came into Dallas and said, hey, we want to do this wrestling show here, they would seriously laugh at them. That's how bad the business is in there. And then not only is it that bad, but then you start talking to the boys in the locker room about the Von Erichs, about Gino Hernandez, some guys that got, Tully Blanchards and all those, and you start talking about Texas and the Funks, and start talking to these guys about that.
Yeah.
And seriously, you can look in their eyes and you can tell that they're lost and they have no idea what you're talking about.
Yeah.
That's how sad it is out there.
I was talking to Rudy Boy Gonzalez, and he was saying how there's just nothing happening. He was going to bring his crew back over to Georgia again. I mean, there's just nothing happening over there.
It's not, but it could, though. But see, you got just like how, you know, we do our Southern wrestling, Texas wrestling is different. Texas, they don't want to see they don't mind seeing fancy moves, don't get me wrong. You know, they definitely appreciate that. They like the fighting. They like the beating, and they want to be able to hear your punches, and they want to be able to feel your kicks sometimes. So
are you one of those crazy guys trying to make a living off indie wrestling, or are you smart enough to have a shoot job too?
You know what? I pay bills wrestling, but
really?
I'm also a personal trainer too.
Oh
so.
Yeah.
But I've been wrestling. I've got lucky, and I've got really, really lucky. Like I said, really, really lucky to put myself in the right positions to be able to do that. A lot of sacrifices.
Yeah.
I probably should be married right now, and I probably should have 3 kids, and I probably should be a doctor. But I decided to pursue wrestling. So, you know, like I said before, I'm not a giant or anything like that. So, you know, you have to be able to, you know, work it through and through. You know, do the office work, you know how to work the office, know how to talk to people, and sell yourself as a character. So,
well, it's a dying breed, isn't it? To be able
it
to,
is.
Yeah.
It's a very dying breed. It's sad. It's sad to know that here in a couple of years, if some guys decide to give it up, how many more less guys are going to be out there?
Yeah.
So you know, but who knows? You know, we don't know what may happen. You don't know what might happen. You don't know what changes may make. You know, you just don't know. But I have hope, and I would love to. I know definitely with, you know, territories probably aren't going to come back. But I tell you what, if guys took the business seriously and seriously enough to make the sacrifice that needed to be made, then quite possibly at least some more money could be made in this business, at least at this level. So.
Well, we had the guy from NWA Florida on, Joey Machete, and he was, you know, basically saying the guys who are really, you know, the quality wrestlers have to reclaim the business. And,
they do.
And Chase was saying that.
Oh,
yeah.
Listen, he preaches that to me all the time. I've been in locker rooms several times, and I'm the nice guy. Like, I'm very nice. I try to be polite and everything like that. And I'll talk to the guys, you know, about, you know, what we want to do. And guy doesn't look like a wrestler. So if a guy doesn't look like a wrestler, he doesn't carry himself like a wrestler, when you get in the ring, you don't treat him like a wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a sad part of the business that it has to be like that. But truly, it does. The people do have to be weeded out for this to even, you know, certain guys even stand out, and, you know, at least for that guy to probably go home and tell everybody else that, man, when I got in the ring with Shane Williams, man, he really punched me. So, you know, and at least hopefully he thinks I'm an asshole, and then hopefully he tells his family, and then hopefully they all show back up, and they all want to kick my ass. So, and of course the promoter would be happy because all those people bought a ticket. So.
Well, Shane, I want to thank you for giving us all this time tonight.
No problem. No, but you guys, thanks for having me and everything. Thank you very much.
Been a pleasure. And those who want to see Shane Williams perform, he's traveling all over the place, but you can actually see him on TV on the American Net One Network every Friday at 10 p.m., every Sunday at 3 p.m. on WVVH.com. They stream Saw every Friday night and every Sunday, so you can see him there if you can't see him live. And,
all right. Thanks a lot, guys. Y'all have a good one. Okay.
Thank you, Shane.
All right,
man.
See ya.
Thank you.
See ya,
man.
Bye. As if he could beat Jerry Lawler in Nashville, please.
You sneak dissing when he got off the phone.
I think it'd be a great time for him to do a run-in, though. That'd be a great run-in.
Yeah.
God, during Dundee and Lawler. Well, guys, I gotta get off your suit and go to work, so.
Yeah, well, it's time to wrap it up for 2010.
When are we back, Larry?
We're back on January 3. We have one of Uno's old homies, Slim J, will be with us that night as one of our guests. We'll have the results of the Georgia Wrestling Awards for 2010. I believe we're going to have the honor of announcing those winners that night, if I'm not mistaken.
Awesome.
So I'm waiting for confirmation from Rich, but I believe that's going to be the plan.
Awesome.
Hey, guess what? I got my email. I felt so important. I got to vote.
Yeah.
You did?
That was a,
did you vote for yourself?
That was a good, of course not.
I would have.
Of course, you know I did. I mean,
I know you did.
I voted for myself as best referee. Shit.
All right, guys. Well, I look forward to it.
Happy holidays, you guys.
Have a good Christmas. Happy New Year.
Yeah, yeah.
Happy New Year. See you in 2011.
All right. Later, guys.
You're the robot lady.
Where's that robot lady?
Where's the robot lady?
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.